I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he does love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. This shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me.
The Lord. That's good, isn't it? I guarantee you, friend, if that don't do something for you, you're in trouble. Amen? That's so good. I like that. I can listen to a lot of that. And take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. Let me thank Brother Angel for hosting this meeting. And I believe in this meeting and believe in revival fires. And Brother Coral, and I believe his paper is very fine, and it'll always be right down the line on everything. It always takes the right stand on things, always promotes soul winning, revival, prayer, the things we so much need. And I love Brother Coral. I love Brother Angel. I pray for this church. I do pray for it, preacher, and I pray for you. And, of course, Brother Coral, I pray for you. And I've been blessed. I've been the one, you know, you come to be a blessing. But last night and this morning, man alive, wasn't that great, all of it? Boy, I'll tell you right now, I mean, I've been helped and convicted and blessed and everything else. But that was so good. Brother Brown, that message this morning, and Brother Smith's message, Brother Bobby. Last night, Brother Smith and Brother Green, boy, one of those powerful sermons. And I've been helped and encouraged. And I understand it's been this way all week. And I'm sure it has. I'm sure that it has. And hope that you'll pray for me tonight while I try to preach. And don't pull for me too hard. I want you to listen more than anything else. And it'll, I think what I'm going to say tonight will be a blessing to you. And I'm going to get out of the way and let Brother Bobby come up here and preach to you. It was a blessing. And I want to thank you, Brother Angel, for the room and all the nice things, the good meal today and last night, the hot dogs and the popcorn. Now, I had open heart surgery in June. I've sort of let up on the hot dogs a little bit. I don't look like I have, but I have. I don't look like I've laid off of them, but I have. I really have. I'm almost afraid of one. I'm going to take off running when I see a hot dog after what they've done to me. And but anyhow, I like them. It doesn't make you not like them. Somebody said, well, I bet it's bad being a diabetic, you can't have nothing sweet. I said, well, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I'll get me a little something sweet. I shouldn't probably, but I do. It's tough. I mean, they tell you this will get you. Let me tell you this one little story. I was preaching 2 weeks ago in the mountains of North Carolina for Wayne Matheson. Used to be here in Illinois. Wayne's way up in the mountains. And I was preaching for him. And me and him went visiting on Tuesday. And he said, Brother Cox, I want you to meet this woman. And said, lives down here on the creek. I want you to go over here with me and meet her. Said she's 103 years old and 9 months. 103 years old and 9 months, almost 104 years old. I want you to meet her. Well, we went up on the porch. He knocked on the door. And the woman's daughter came to the door, opened the door. And she was up about 75 or 78. She answered the door and invited us in. We got in there and had been cooking. Man, it was so hot in there. It was so hot. Brother, I mean, it was terrible. It was hot. That old stove was really doing its job, you know, when we got in. And he introduced us and everything. And I know you don't understand this, but this is North Carolina mountain talk. Brother Bobby, you know what I'm talking about. And Georgia. And I was right on the Georgia-North Carolina line. And when they say you, it's Ewens. Am I telling it right? Ewens. And this woman, Miss Minnie Couch, was sitting in her wheelchair. And she said, could I offer Ewens something to eat? And we was getting ready to meet our wives down the road. And I said, no, ma'am, I appreciate it. I said, but we're getting ready to go down here and eat just in a minute with meet our wives down here. And she said, well, I got some good food on here. She said, I got some good country ham biscuits on there. And I said, man, I tell you, I said, that's good. I said, but you know, I said to her, I said, you know them things will kill you, don't you? She sat there a minute. She said, well, I don't know. She said, I've been eating them 100 years and they ain't hurt me nothing. What are you going to say to that? I didn't know what else to say, Brother Coral. She said, I've been eating them for 100 years. And and I told her, I said, well, I eat them for about 57 years. They almost kill me. I tell you, though, she was a saved. She's a saved woman that knowed the Lord. And it was just a blessing to get in there in fellowship with them. But I love God's people. This is my crowd. This is my crowd. You know, the Bible, people say it's hard to live for God, but the Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. And man, I'm just glad to be on this thing. You know, Brother Angel, I hear all these people talk about running from God. I had a man tell me the other day, he said, I've been running from God, trying to get, you know, God calling him to preach, and said, I've been running from God. And man, let me tell you something. Brother Bowen, when I thought God was calling me, I was trying to catch God. I was running so fast to get to Him because I couldn't do nothing else. And I thought, you know, I don't know how to do anything. If God called me to preach, it'll probably save my life. I said, somebody said to me, said, how did you know you was called to preach? I said, I woke up craving chicken and didn't want to go to work. Amen. Well, and that's not the truth, but anyhow, I look like I've craved a little chicken along the way, don't I? But anyhow, I'm just glad to be here. Thank you for the nice room and everything over there, for the love offering, everything. And just what a delight to be here with Brother Angel and Brother Coral and these other good men of God. And I've got one of our missionaries out of our church, Mark Jones and his wife. They're here, and their little girl. I'm glad to see them. And then flying up here is Brother Bobby. And anytime I can be around Bobby Robertson, I love Brother Bobby. I really do. I really do. I don't have a pastor now, except I have Brother Bobby. But I wasn't ever a member of Gospel Light, officially was not a member. But I look to Brother Bobby Robertson as my pastor. If I need some counsel or need some advice, I'll go to Brother Bobby. I love him. I respect him. And you're going to hear him in it a little bit. I'm going to try to just preach to you a little here. Look in your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5, and let me get to going and preach. I'm going to read several verses here. I remember old Dr. Malone one time, Brother Coral, Dr. Malone said, he said, I'm going to read several verses. And said, somebody asked him, said, Dr. Malone, why do you read so many verses? He said, well, I do that because if I get in trouble in one verse, I can flee to another. Amen. Well, that's what I'm going to do here tonight. And stand with me, if you would, in respect to the Holy Word of God. You know, I believe the Bible, the King James Bible, I believe it's a Word of God. I do. I believe with all my soul. And I believe the Bible. Well, let's look at verse number 1. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like under the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And our Heavenly Father, I pray that thou wouldst help me now, Lord, to be blessed tonight and anointed of God to try to preach. Lord, I realize this is a job too big, Lord, for a man. And I pray, God, you'd help me and fill me with thy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for what I've received from this meeting and the good preaching that I've heard. And thank you for Brother Angel, this good church, and Brother Coral, and these other preachers that are here tonight. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, and I'm going to preach to you tonight on this thought. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. Here's a man, a Syrian captain of the Syrian army, that was a man. I was reading today, didn't get to read all of it, but I was reading today on the front of your paper about a man who was an Air Force pilot and was a Vietnam prisoner of war and was captured from 66 to 73, set over in a Vietnamese prison camp. I was reading about that today. Said he flew 198 combat missions. And I thought, what a great man. And at least I'm glad somebody took note of that and put it in the paper for that great man. I thought about that. Well, you have such a man here. You've got Naaman, a man who had won many battles. And his king loved him and thought a lot of him for all that he had done for Syria. when they got into a battle with Israel, they let out of the land of Israel a little girl. And they brought a little girl out there. That little girl became the maid for Naaman's wife. She was a little waited on her, maybe done cleaning and or cooking. I don't know what she done, but she was a maid. She waited on Naaman's wife. Naaman, it says, was a great man with his king. But he was a leper. Of course, you know, leprosy represents sin. Many times in the Bible, it doesn't talk about leprosy being healed. It talks about it being cleansed because it's a type of sin. And this man, if you know anything about leprosy, it will actually eat a person away and take eat their fingers off and hands and arms and all over their body till it finally kills them. There's no known cure for leprosy even today. But this king loved his soldier, and this little girl loved Naaman. I think he was good to her and good to his wife and good. I think he was just a decent man. And the little girl said this. She knew about Elisha. She said, would to God that he could get down to the prophet that's in Samaria. She's talking about a preacher. She said, if you get him down to my preacher, he could help him. And so the king of Syria heard this, and he said, well, let's get him down here and get him down to Israel. So he sent all this gold and silver and clothes and all these big elaborate gifts, and he sends all these things down to the king of Israel. And here shows a big entourage of soldiers shows up, their chariots and their horses all decorated, and they rolled up in front of the palace and got a hold of the king, and he comes out and he says, what can I do for you? And they said, well, all these gifts have been sent from you to the king of Syria. He wants you to do something for Naaman. And when he said that, he rent his garments and said this statement, am I God? You know, it's good when a man's got enough sense to know he ain't God. You know, it'd be good if a lot of people could figure that out today. They ain't God. Amen. But he said, am I God to make this man? Well, he said, I don't have the power to do that. Well, old Elisha heard about it. And he wasn't God either, but he was close to him. He knew him. And he sent a servant up there and said, you go up there and tell him to send him on down here. And so here comes a Naaman and his group and all these corporals and lieutenants and sergeants. And I mean a big crowd coming around this war hero. And when they pulled up in front of Elisha's house, you'd have thought that Elisha would have put on his best suit and you know, looked just right and come walking out and been wanting his picture took with him and all that, you know. But he didn't do it. He just said, Gehazi, I said, go out yonder and tell him to go down to Jordan and dip down 7 times, and he'll be clean. Well, here come this servant out here. He said, boys, he said, the preacher told me what for you to do. He said, he just said for you to go down to Jordan and dip down in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman looked around a little bit and said, well, where's he at? Where is that preacher? And you know what? This is an honest truth, what I'm going to tell you. You know, if you get around people, this has always been an experience of mine. You know, a lot of times people that's really got God on them is a little different. They don't spend a lot of time messing around people. They're busy with God. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, I've known some people, Brother Bobby, like Brother Roloff. You got to admit he was different. Amen. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a good way. I'm just telling you, they spend so much time with God that they're just different. You see what I'm trying to say? I know what I'm talking about. And there may be a little bit, what some people would consider just a little bit recluses, like a lot of them. But I think it's the way Elisha was. He wasn't impressed with all the press and all the lights and all the cameras and all the reporters and all that. I mean, it didn't make no difference to him. He didn't even come out. He just sent the messenger out there and said, you go tell him what to do. Well, when he did tell him what to do, Naaman got mad. And he said this, I thought he'd at least come out. Well, let me tell you what I thought. When I went to church, Brother Terry, I hear all these preachers' testimonies in these meetings about how they had a daddy and mother that's godly and went to church every Sunday and they tucked the men at night and prayed with them and read a chapter or two of the Bible and went to Sunday school and all that. Hey, listen, I never seen the inside of a church till I was nearly grown. I was 15 years old before I ever went to church. I'd never owned a Bible when I was 15. I didn't know anything about that. So when I did go, when I finally got, my mother knew that our home needed something. And my mama took me and my little baby brothers and was carrying one of them, just an infant, and my little sister's with the Lord now. And we walked into that house of God, that little Baptist church, in 1969. And sitting in that church, I didn't have an idea. But this is what I thought before I got in there. Brother Bowen, I thought that if I did good and I did right and I didn't lie or cuss or steal or commit adultery or dope or none of the rest of that kind of stuff, I thought if I didn't get into none of that and I just did right when I died, and I used to hear they talk a little bit about the second coming of Christ, but up there in the mountains, they didn't call it the second coming, they called it the end of the world. And I just know something bad's going to happen one day. I didn't know what. They just talking about God's going to come one day. And I didn't know who He was or how to get to Him. But I thought, if you just do right, if I just do right, that when I die, God will let me in. Well, I got in that Baptist church that morning, and old Gene Garlow was preaching the Word of God, and I found out that what I thought wasn't even close to what was right. I found out about the good grace of God there that day. And that you're saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. And Titus 3:5 tells us that too. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But anyhow, he got mad. He said, I thought. Well, his men walked over and said, look, if He had bidded you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. And he started trying to get another route, like a lot of them do. He said, was not abandoned far cleaner waters and better rivers? They said, well, that ain't the issue. It's what God said. You see, it ain't what you think, Captain. It's what God said. And he said, just tell him I said, go to Jordan and duck down seven times in it. I preached one time on seven ducks in muddy water. Amen. And that's what it is, ain't it? He got in that old water, Brother Coral, and he went down the first time and he come up the same way, and the second time the same way, the fifth time the same way, and the sixth time the same way. But when he come up out of there that seventh time, it looked like he walked back here in the nursery and got one of these newborn babies like that when it was born here in the church yesterday, and them that flesh was as slick and as clean and as pure, and them old scabs and scars and all that, them oozing sores and all of that mangled up scars. Now it's all gone. I believe he liked to splash that river dry, shouting it out. His men are hugging his neck and crying. And I could just see all that going on there. And you know what? You know why that happened? Because that man gave God a chance and did what God said. He gave God a chance and he did what God said. You know, I got to think about that. If we give God a chance in a lot of areas of life, God let us see some great things. You know, if you'd give God a chance to send an answer to prayer. Give God a chance to send an answer to prayer. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 said, call unto me and I will answer thee. Now listen to that. You know what? He ain't going to put you on there with something, what do you call it? The operator? Yeah, I don't know. What answer machine? He ain't going to have you on there with something saying, we're not available. If you leave your name and number, a short message, we'll get back with you. I'm glad God doesn't do that. Hey, you know what? God don't need no switchboard operator. God, whenever you call, He says, hello. He said, I'm listening. You know why? Listen, He always takes His children's calls. It's in fellowship. Amen. And He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, the early church, everything they done, I mean, listen, they had any kind of problems, anything. They always just prayed. And you know what? Today, folks, if you and me would pray today, we'd see some things happen. You remember when Simon Peter got locked up and they done killed James the day before, Acts chapter 12? They done killed James with a sword. And that old politician, he seen, boy, it pleased the crowd. He said, we're going to kill another preacher tomorrow and I'll get him for sure. And we're just going to keep doing what we got to do here till we get business is going to pick up. And so, the next morning, they're going to kill Simon Peter. And he's sitting in jail with his chains on both wrists, chains on his feet, sitting between soldiers scattered out all down through there. But down at John Mark's mother's house, The church, it said, prayed for him with, that prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him. That's what it said. And you know what? I believe, Brother Angel, if you'd walked around that little old house that John Mark's mama lived in, if you'd went by that night walking down through the alley, it would sound like you couldn't hear the thunder. That crowd was in there calling on God. They was praying for God to turn the preacher loose. Now, he bound to have had confidence that they was going to do it. You say, how do you know? He was asleep. Amen. Bless God, you let them tell them they're going to cut my head off in the morning and I wouldn't sleep a wink. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. But he was asleep and that angel had to come in and shake him and wake him up and said, get up, Peter, put your sandals on. We're leaving here. And them doors on that jail that night, them chains and shackles fell off and them doors swung open like it was Walmart. Amen. I mean to tell you, the doors opened up, and that night, listen, that preacher and that angel, come out of there. You know why? Because people prayed, and they gave God a chance to do something that night. What is it you need God to do for you? Would you give God a chance? You know, I've seen God do some things. My mother, several years ago, my mother had a colon cancer. And then she had colon cancer, and then they found a huge mass in her midsection here. And the doctor said, the colon cancer, I'm not really worried about it. He said, I think we can do that fairly easy. He said, but you have a mass, ma'am, he said, this big in your midsection. And he said, it's going to be very complicated to do even the surgery. And he said, I'm very concerned about it. And he said, I've asked another doctor to assist me when it comes time for the surgery. And so I went to see her from North Carolina up to West Virginia. She was in the hospital. And I happened to walk in when the doctor came into the room. And this doctor walked in and he started telling my mother about the surgery and what to expect. And he said, now, what we're going to do, he said, we're going to operate on the colon and give you a couple of months to heal up. And then we're going to have you to come back and take x-rays of this. More x-rays. He already had x-rays to see it was there. But he said, we're going to do more x-rays and then we'll do the surgery. And he, in so many words, told my mother, if you've got anything you need to line up, get anything, you better do it. He was basically telling her he didn't even know if she'd make it through it. Well, I'm standing there and I'm listening to him. And my mother's an old country girl from West Virginia. And here stands this doctor and he's telling her all this. And my doctor said, she said to this doctor, she said, Doc, I want to tell you something. She said, I'm hooked up with some praying people. She said, we pray. And he said, we're going to ask God to take care of this. I'll never forget it, Brother Coral, that doctor went, psh, just like that. He went, psh, turned around and walked out of the room. My mother looked at me and said, well, we're going to trust God. I said, well, I know it. I said, if he's the one who didn't know it, I said, I believe you. Well, they did the surgery the next day, and she did good. A couple of months passed, and we was praying. I had my church praying, had people all over praying, and we just prayed. Well, she went back for more x-rays, and then they was going to tackle this surgery. And the day that they took her in for the x-ray to do it, the little nurse that was getting her ready to get in the x-ray machine here, my mother told her about it and told her what that doctor said. And that nurse said, ma'am, I'm a Christian. She said, if you don't mind, I'll pray with you before we even do the x-ray. My mom said, you go right ahead. And that little old nurse bowed her head there. And my sister was sitting in the waiting area out there. And this little nurse, she prayed with my mother and asked God to take away that tumor that was in her, this large mass. And Mama said you could feel the Lord on that little old girl when she was praying. And Brother Angel, they did them x-rays. And then they rolled her back into the x-ray, into the waiting area there. And then they got those x-rays. And you know how they'd hang them up to the light? You know how they do that? Well, they got them, had them all hung up. And they called this doctor and said, you come on up here. And the doctor come up here. And preacher, when he walked in, he stood there. My mama's laying there. He said, I don't believe it. Mama said he didn't say what he didn't believe. She said it scared me at first. And then he said, get Dr. So-and-so up here. This was the doctor that was going to assist him. He come up. He said, you see these x-rays here? You see the mass? He said, yes. And he said, these are the ones we've taken today. And he said, there's nothing. And my mama raised up on one elbow on that bed and said, Doc, I told you I was hooked up with some praying people. He just turned and walked out of there. But you know what? You've got to give God a chance. Give God a chance, you see, to answer prayer. I believe in it. I believe, listen, if God's people... And folks, I'm going to tell you something in this country. We're in a fix now. We can't preach our way out of this, Brother Bobby. We're going to have to pray. You know, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Brother, you know what? We need to admit we ain't got the answer except God. And get on our faces and start begging God for revival and to turn this nation back to God. That's what we need. And to turn our churches back to God. And we need prayer. Give God a chance to answer, to send an answer to prayer. Then let me give you something else. Listen, give God a chance to supply the portion that you need. Give God a chance to supply the portion that you need. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody said told me one day, said, well, that ain't what he's talking about. I said, well, if it ain't, don't tell me, because I've always believed it and it's worked good for 44 years. If he don't tell me, because it's worked good for me. And the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now all these things is food, shelter, amen, clothes. That's all these things. That don't mean all the other things. But you know what? God's so great to us and good to us, He's put a lot of other stuff in there, ain't He? You know what I'm talking about? But He promised He'd supply. Hey, you know what? I've never met a tither in a soup line. You know what I'm talking about? I've never met anybody that paid tithes and offerings to God through their local church like you're supposed to do. I've never met one of them standing down on the street and you'd say, well, how'd you get here? It's, well, give everything I had to missions. And I got so poor, just put us in the poorhouse here. You know what you better learn about? God's hand's bigger than yours. You heard about the little boy went to the store, didn't you, with his daddy, and he's in one of these old country stores like where it was that I growed up. They had to just store it, sold everything from bologna and cheese up to Staples and barbed wire. They sold everything in that one store, you know. And then the post office was in there too. And in this little store, I'm not kidding you. But anyhow, this little boy, and they had these candy jars sitting on next to the cash register, old cash register. Wasn't none of that stuff. You stuck something right under a light that made a beep. Back then, they had to be able to add and subtract. Amen. And divide a little bit. But anyhow, here sets these little old jars with all this penny candy in them. Now, there ain't such things as penny candy, but there was. I'm talking about Mary Janes and Tootsie Rolls. Amen. And Bazooka Joe, I'm talking about, is in them jars. Now, some of you is looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate, but that is good stuff. Amen. And this little boy standing there waiting on his daddy to pay for the merchandise, and he's standing there, and he's just staring at that candy. And the store owner seeing the little boy staring at the candy jar. He said, son, go ahead. He said, get you some candy. And the little boy just went like that and just shook his head no. And he said, oh, go home. He said, it'll be all right. He said, get you some candy. And the little boy just went like this. And dad looked down and said, son, go on. He said, he told you, get you some candy. Get you some candy. The little boy went like this. So finally, the dad pulled the lid off the jar and run his hand down there and got candy and then put the lid back on. And they walked down to the store. And they're out on the store porch. He said, son, what in the world got into you in there? He said, you love candy. Why didn't you reach in there and get you some candy? And he looked up and grinned and said, because your hand's bigger than my hand. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. If you ever figure out that God's hand's bigger than your hand, God's hand's bigger than your hand. And God can supply the portion that you need. You know, I've about been, the whole time there that I've been in the ministry, you know, sometimes I'll see these preachers, Brother Terry, and they get a church and everything's paid for and thousands in the bank and just everything's all up to date and painted and everything just perfect. You know what? That ain't never been my way it goes for me. I usually get ones ready to fold up and they're getting ready to come take the buildings and haul the pews out and that kind of thing, you know. Well, Brother Bobby recommended me to Trinity Baptist Church 30 years ago, and it wasn't that bad, but it was getting pretty bad. It was getting pretty bad. And there were some times, I'll be honest with you, back then it just seemed like, man, we just barely have enough to just make it. But you know something? It ain't much different now. We paid that building off, and then we built another one and had to have other buildings and buy more buses. So it's just, I found out, you know what? The just live by faith. That's just the way it's going to be. And I come in the office. It's been, I guess, a year ago. I come in the office one morning, and I asked the financial secretary, I said, well, how was the offering yesterday? And she said, well, preacher, we was about $3,000 under what we needed. And then the next week, I come in, and old cold morning and raining and all of it. And she said, we're about $3,000 off again. Well, you know, that starts getting to you a little bit, you know. Started worrying about it a little bit. And I know you shouldn't, but I got concerned. I got out there and the wind blowing and it was raining. And I had to go over to Forsyth Hospital and the Baptist Hospital. And I'm going up the road about half defeated, thinking about those offerings off, what was going on, why are they down, and that kind of thing. Well, I made my hospital calls, and I come back, and it was raining, and I pulled into one of these little sheets stores. You know what I'm talking about? These little old 7-Eleven. They're really a nice kind of a deal, and they got good coffee. My goodness, they got good coffee, and I like coffee. Amen. And they got good coffee, and so I stopped in there to get me a cup of coffee, and it was pouring the rain. And I was in my old red and white truck, and I'm sitting there in front of that sheet, and I had the wipers going and the headlights on, just sitting right in front of that store, and it was pouring the rain, and I sat in there a little bit discouraged, to be honest with you, about, you know, needs and everything. And for the church, and I'm sitting there, and I they have these fancy trash cans that they put right in front of where you park, just real nice aluminum tops on them, and they even got lights on them around them where that I guess you won't run through the front of the store there. And I was sitting there, and they got a little shield over top of the hole where you put the garbage in. And I'm sitting there in my truck waiting on the rain to slack up. And I looked over there, and I thought I seen something move around that shield. And I looked up under it where that little light is. There was a little bird about that big sitting up on there next to that light. Just a little old sparrow. Just about that big. Just sitting on there up against that little old light. And no doubt a little bit of heat coming off that light. And that bird, instead of getting out in that water, there it is with that little hood over it, that little shelter it was over it. And I'm sitting there looking at that bird. And then a minivan come just pulling in. And a little girl jumped out of that van. She had a styrofoam bowl where she'd finished up a bowl of cereal. And she was going to run in the store, probably to get something for her and her mother. And when she did, she ran to that trash can and slung that bowl at that trash can. And the bowl went in the trash bin. But that when it hit the side of that trash can, it flipped over. And a bunch of that cereal stuff went up under there. You know what I'm talking about? And then that little old bird, it shooted out from under. And that bird flew out there. And preacher, he just made a big loop and come right back and landed under there on top of that cereal. And now here it is, that little sparrow. I'm looking over there. It's got a shelter over top of its head. And it's got a light under there for a heater. And it's landed on top of a bunch of Cheerios that's been milk-soaked. And it was standing there, and its little beak was just digging into them Cheerios. Hey, and it seemed like the Heavenly Father said, Daryl, you look over yonder. Listen, he didn't sow nothing or plant nothing, and I'm taking care of him. And how much more value of you than the little sparrow? Hey, I'm going to tell you, I was sitting there squalling like a baby, Brother Bobby, sitting there crying, clapping my hands, saying, God is going to take care of us. And He has. You know what you got to do? Give God a chance. You got to give God a chance to supply the needs that you have. Let me tell you, Cam Thompson, an old evangelist that prayed. He was a praying man and loved God. And back in the days when it was travel's not like it is now, he got a message by telephone to come. They wanted him for a revival. And he didn't have the money hardly to get to the revival, you know, to travel. And he was going to have to get train fare and didn't have a dime. And he told his wife, said, honey, I believe God wants me to go in that meeting. Up there, and she said, well, Cam, you don't have money even for train fare to even get there. He said, I know, but I've been praying, and I believe God wants to do something. He wants to use me up there, and I believe I ought to go. So the morning come for him to leave. He still doesn't have a penny, but he's been praying. And said, Lord, you told me you'd take care of me. You'd meet the needs. And so Cam Thompson had a neighbor to take him to the train station and let him out. There he is with his little old cardboard suitcase. And his raincoat on and comes in and gets in line. And there's a man here getting his ticket at the train station and a woman here in line. And he gets behind them. And he's standing there thinking, what will I do? It's time for me to get my ticket just in a minute. What am I going to say? And he just said, Lord, you'll just have to, you're going to have to do something. And he's standing there and he said, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he hears somebody say, Cam Thompson. And he said, he looked, and here come a man and a woman walking towards him, smiling. And the guy walks up and said, aren't you Cam Thompson? He said, I sure am. He said, I got saved 35 years ago. We was preaching a revival under a tent. Such place. He said, I haven't seen you since. But me and my wife's been in church ever since then, living for God. And he hugged old Cam Thompson's neck. And he said, you don't know what a treat this is to run into you in this airport. And they talked a little bit. Well, the man had got his ticket. And Brother Coral, the lady got her ticket. And now the ticket holder says, next. And it's time for him to walk up there. He still didn't have a penny. And he steps up. And when he did, he run his hand in his pocket. And that man got him by the arm and said, no. He said, ma'am, his money's no good. She didn't know how right she was. Amen. His money's no good. And he said, I'm buying that ticket. And he said, where are you going, preacher? And he bought the round trip train fare and gave him $100. Back when $100 was a lot of money, a whole lot of money. And gave him that. And old Cam Thompson said, listen, God already had this set up. When I come here, he knew what he wanted to do. You just got to give God a chance to supply the needs. I'm talking about, I've watched God through the year. Anything we have needed like that, God will take care of the need. You see, all I got to do is do my part. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen? Now let me say this right here. Give God a chance, listen, to supply the portion that you need and send answer to prayer. Then give God a chance to still the storms, the peril of the storms. You know that you and I are going to have storms. But you know something, friend? We're serving the Master of the Sea. And in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, I don't have time to turn over there, but in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, the disciples was out on the sea in an awful storm, and they seen something coming they thought was a spirit. And he said, be not afraid, it is I. Boy, they're in that storm. And Simon Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee. And you know something now, you can criticize him if you want to, but he still holds a world record. Him and Jesus are the only ones ever walked on water. Amen? And he did get out of the boat. He still is a world record holder, and that's been held for a long time. And I got a sneaking suspicion it's going on for a long time. But he got out of that boat and went to the Son of God. And hey, when he got his eyes on the storm instead of the Savior, and he began to listen to the whistling wind instead of listening to the words of the Son of God, the Bible said he began to sink when he saw the waves and the winds boisterous. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says immediately, God reached down and got him by the hand. You know, here in the last year, in 2000, preacher, in 13, was the hardest year I've ever had in my life. But I want to tell you something. God was with me. He never left me. You know, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, I had open heart surgery in June. And you know, all my family come over there that morning. I'll just tell you this. The night before the surgery, a little girl from the anesthesia department come up to see me. And she said, do you know what they're going to do to you? Do you know? And I said, yes, ma'am, I think I do. And she started telling me all about it and everything's going to take place. She said, are you afraid? I said, yes, ma'am, I am a little bit. You know, ain't no use to lie about it. I said, God, I'll tell you right now, they're going to take a parasol and cut the front of you open. You're crazy if you're not afraid a little bit. Amen. I mean, that got me a little concerned about this thing. And she said, are you afraid? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, don't worry. She said, we got some drugs downstairs, got something to send up here, and it'll calm you down. You know what I did? This old red Bible was laying on that nightstand, this old red Scofield. I said, ma'am, you see that old book laying right there? She said, yes. I said, I've been riding that for 44 years through storms. And I said, I'm going to ride it through this one, or I'm going to ride it into the beachhead of glory, one or the other. I said, whichever way God wants me to go, I said, I'm going with this book right here. And she said, yeah, but what about your nerves? I said, that's what I'm talking about. I said, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. And He's a very present help in trouble. I said, I'm in trouble, but He's so present if I turn around, I bump into Him. God's here. God's here. And I'm going, and the next morning, hey, you know what? The next morning, my family walked with me down to them big old metal doors, Brother Bobby, where it says authorized personnel only. And my family hugged me and kissed me, and I was going through them doors, and you know what they couldn't see, but there was one that walked through them doors with me that they couldn't stop. I told that old boy with me, it was a black man pushing me in there, and I said, hey, he said, who's doing your surgery? I said, well, Dr. Kahn's one of them. He said, what do you mean one of them? I said, well, he's assistant in the surgery. He said, assistant? He said, man, he's one of the biggest surgeons. And Aaron said, he don't need no assistant. I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, who's the main one? I said, the great physician. And I tried to lead him to him before we got down there. But I'm telling you, you listen to me, that God will bring you through the perils of the storm. Give God a chance, listen, to take you through. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to make you mad. But I'm just going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that's depressed and discouraged, that's on all them old antidepressants, preacher. And we can roller skate out here if everybody emptied their pocketbooks off all that stuff. And you know what it is? It suppresses it. It put the lid on your problems. Won't you give it to God and let God take you through the storm? I'm just telling you the truth about it. I'm just telling you the truth about it tonight. And give God a chance to still the storm. Let me say this. Give God a chance to save a sinner. You know what, though? Now, let me tell you, to give God a chance, God will save them if you'll get busy about telling them. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, I'm talking about some people you think is a hard case. To God, there's not such thing as a hard case. There's no such thing as a hard case with God. Now, that maniac of Gadara looked like a hard case. And I guess if you and me, if somebody was sending us to see him, he ain't the kind of guy you want to go visit on Thursday night. Amen. First of all, his address was the graveyard. And before you got there, you didn't have to ask where he lived. You could hear him screaming over there. You could hear them devils holler. And you could hear him screaming. Amen. And then when you got up there, here comes a man out with no clothes on and blood dripping all off his body where he took lancets and all of it and cut himself. And they tried to bind him up with chains and fetters, but they couldn't hold him. But you know something? I really believe if you study that thing, see, Jesus come across that water and it was a storm before that. I believe that old maniac might have been standing up on that hill at that cemetery looking at that water, and he seen that storm around that boat, and all of a sudden it stopped. You know what? That was when Jesus said, peace be still up there. And that old maniac, listen, I don't know that. But I think about that. Because, hey, when he got there and he met that man, them demons cried out. And they said, are you come here to torment us before our time? You know something, Brother Bobby? The devil knows he's got a Waterloo coming. He ain't no way he can win this thing. Ain't no way. I mean, even them demons said, are you come here to get us before our time? And they said, would you suffer us to come out of this man and go into that herd of hogs over there? Swine? And he gave them permission. Now, this is just a little something I throw in there for free. But people think that a devil can't get in an animal, but I'm telling you, he can. I've been out on bus visitation running some of them pit bulldogs trying to about eat the gate off trying to get to you. I'm telling you right now, hey, that ain't normal. Now you think, well, you've been laying around them old dope houses and all that rap music stuff done run them crazy, full of devils. Hey, you look at all these attacks. Now, hey, I'm just telling you, that's what I believe. Because it's just looking for a body to get in, but you can't get nothing much worse than a pit bulldog. And I know some of y'all say, well, it's how you bring them up. Yeah, and I'm telling you, I don't want to bring them up. I want them away from me. Amen. But they got in that herd of hogs, and when it did, you know what it did to them hogs? Same thing it'll do to a dog, run them crazy. And they run down a steep place into the sea and were choked. In other words, they was drowned. Somebody lost a lot of money. Somebody lost a lot of money. They didn't run in to tell about that man getting saved. They went to tell about that loss on them hogs. But that man got saved. You know what it was? Jesus didn't see him as a hard case. And you know what you got to do? You don't need to see people as hard cases. You just need to see them as lost and have compassion on people. Amen? And I'm telling you right now, you and I need to get busy about this thing of soul winning. Give God a chance. God wants to save them, but He's going to use you and me. He's going to use us. And you need to carry tracts on you. Have them with you all the time and be handing them out. I've been handing them out here. You give me someone of God here. I've handed out everyone from this church that I've received. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you that's what we ought to be doing. That's what our business is. Miss Hatch went to heaven last night, Miss Ruby Hatch. But I had old Carl Hatch a lot of times with me. Hey, you may not be a Carl Hatch, but you can be a soul winner. Huh? You can be a personal soul winner. You want people saved? Brother, let me tell you something. Give God a chance and let Him use you to tell somebody how to get there. Let God... Listen, I'm talking about give God a chance. You got to witness to people. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'm talking about the other week. The other week, there on my bus route, I seen a man and a woman standing in a yard, and I got out, Brother Bowen, went up where they was at, had a little girl, and I introduced myself. They said, we just moved here from Nashville, Tennessee. And I said, well, man, we'd love to have you folks in church tomorrow. And I said, do you know where the forward place is? I was trying to give him some direction. He said, I don't know where anything is, so we just got here. He said, and I gave him this tract. He said, I'll put this in my GPS. I'll be there tomorrow. I got in the truck and I told my wife, I said, it was almost like he just wanted rid of me, you know. And I got in the car and she said, he said he is coming. I said, I know, but I said, he didn't sound too positive. He said, it looked like he wanted rid of me. Next day he is there. I guess he did put that thing in a GPS. He would come right to us. And you know what? That Thursday I went by there to see him and was able to lead that man and that woman both to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's people everywhere. Hey, there's people everywhere, but you've got to talk to them. We have to talk to them. Give God a chance to use you. I'm talking about at the hospitals. I was at the hospital one day, handing out tracts, and there was a man standing up there, 85 years old, standing there in the parking deck, just standing there waiting on somebody, looking out over the parked cars out on the street. And I'd come walking by. And it seemed like God just wanted me to stop and talk to him. Well, I stopped, and I gave him a tract, and I started talking to this man. Well, here come the hospital security. And I was leading this man to Christ, and here comes this hospital security on a golf cart. You know, a little blue light on top of it going around. And this guy gets off. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to keep this man out of hell. He said, well, you're not allowed to do this on this property. I said, now, sir, let's get this straight. And I said, I'm not trying to be hateful. But I said, there's a hospital over there where y'all are trying to physically get them better. I said, is that right? He said, that's right. I said, well, man, I said, that's what I'm doing over here. I'm just trying to get them spiritually better over here. Y'all can get a hold of them over here physically. I said, I'm not trying to do anything, break the law. I'm not trying to break the law. I don't want to go against your laws. But I said, sir, you don't understand. I said, the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to tell this man about Christ. And that guy said, well, you can't do it here. And he pulled on off, and that old man said to me, he said, son, you go ahead and finish. Amen. I led that old man to Christ. It's pretty bad. What they ought to do is get him a police cruiser and go chase your dope crowd and leave me alone. Amen? Not mess with me down there. Lord, all I'm trying to do is keep somebody out of hell. I'll tell you, it's going to be some sad days. And what we've done is we're trying to find all these ways to go soul winning. And look, I'm for any way you can do it. I'm for any way you can do it. I'm for using anything you got. But I told the bus captain the other day, I said, you get out of the cell phone ministry and get out of that car and walk up on that porch and knock on that door. I said, quit all that foolishness. I said, you know you can do this? I said, you can't improve on God's way. You can't improve on God's way. You got to go up and talk to them. Amen? Talking about, he said, yeah, if you'll get this, you get your website up, people will come. Folks, listen, what that early church didn't even know what a website was. Didn't hardly know what a spider web was, but they knew what soul winning was. Now, I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you folks what we've done. We've got hoodwinked into believing a whole bunch of stuff. And we better give God a chance to save an old hard sinner. Let me say this, that give God a chance, listen, to send revival. You know, I still believe today God can send a revival. I really believe today you see revival. You say, well, what have you got to do? Give God a chance. See, the problem of the devil wants you to believe it's impossible to see revival. Brother Bowen showed me a picture of where he just come from India. Over here, what it is, God's got plenty of revival. He's just looking for a place to drop it. He's got plenty of it left. You think God can't do today what He did in the days of Charles Finney and John Wesley? You think God can't still do what He did when Mordecai Ham was living and Hyman Appleman? Do you think God can't still do the same thing? Sure He can. What about in 1865 when Lamplier got over here on Fulton Street in New York and got about a half a dozen men together on the Fulton Street and started praying. And then they went from 6 or 8 that started praying to a dozen, then to 15, then to 25, then to 50 until they had to go rent other rooms. Just a prayer meeting. And until that thing was over, there was thousands of people being saved called the Fulton Street Prayer Meeting. But you know what it is? We won't pray. You know what? I'll tell you what you do, preacher. You have any kind of meeting you want to at this church. I don't care what it is. Revival meeting, Sunday morning service, Sunday school, midweek prayer meeting, soul winning, anything. But when you have a prayer meeting, it'll be the least attended thing. That's right. It'll be the least. Hey, the closer you get to the cross, the littler the crowd gets. The littler the crowd gets. And I'm going to tell you right now, he showed me a picture over in India. If you think you can't still have revival, of 12,000 people coming at 35 or 36 degrees at 7 o'clock in the morning under a tent. He preached and gave an invitation. There was 600 or 700 at the altar trying to climb over top of that altar to get saved. You say, what's the difference? Rather, what it is there's other things we'd rather do than revival. We've let other things crowd it out. But brother, I'm going to tell you right now, we ought to give God a chance. Folks, it's the only hope America's got. Only hope we got is if a real old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting of God come down where people got right with God and begin to pray and begin to see God do some stuff. That's the only way it's going to happen. But we got to give God a chance. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. You know what this? He gave Jonah a chance, didn't He? When Jonah finally showed up where he was supposed to and did what God told him to do, the whole town got saved. God did something. Hey, you know what? God gave me a chance one day to get saved. And I'm glad that I had enough sense to not refuse that chance. And I want to say to you tonight, there may be some area of the Christian life you just need to give God a chance. Give God a chance. Let God work. Hey, you know what? Naaman would have died a leper. But when he finally said, you know, I think I'm just going to go there and do what they said. I'm just going to go down here and get in Jordan. And just dipped down 7 times. You know what it was? He lived on because he gave God a chance. And just did what the preacher told him. He just did what he was told. Now let me tell you something. Anything that would work 100 years ago will work tonight. If we give God a chance. Anything that worked back years and many hundreds of years ago, it'll still work now. It's the same God. And He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God. I change not. Stand on His Word and what He said. Stand on His Word and what He said. I'll tell you this. I believe tonight with all of my heart, every problem in the world, every problem in America, every problem in all the world, right here's the answer. Everything. Home, All the homes in America, listen, every problem in the home, this book will straighten it out if you'll get in it. You know what? I believe this old book. You know, we just remodeled our auditorium here about 2 years ago. We remodeled it and the old auditorium. We completely redone them. We put wood about this color, oak flooring, on top of the platform and just made it look nice and did some decorating and just made everything look nice. And while they were doing it, Brother Bobby, my man that was head of all of it, he said, "Preacher, is there anything you want to do to this platform special, anything?" I said, "Yes, there is." He said, "What is it?" I said, "I want you to cut a hole right under the pulpit, right where I stand, and put a box there under the flooring." And I went and got a brand new Morocco leather King James Scofield Bible. And I wrote into it out of Chronicles where Hilkiah said, "I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And I put it in that box and I took the lid off of it so that leather wouldn't rot. And I put it under that floor. And then I went over there in that other one where they redone that platform. And I put it over there. Put one under there. You say, why? Because if anybody ever try to use that church for anything else and ever start tearing that old floor out of there, they're going to say with Hilkiah, "I found the book." You know why? Because every problem, everything in the world we need is in this old book tonight. All of it. All of it. Revival, answered prayer, giving, receiving, anything in the world. It's all right here. Soul winning, salvation, it's all in this old book. Give God a chance. Amen? Amen? Let's bow our heads. Our Father, I thank You tonight for this meeting. I thank You, dear Father, for what it stands for in the revival fires. And dear Lord, I pray tonight. I know, Lord, in an audience this size with as many people as there is here tonight, a great crowd. I know, dear Lord, there's people here tonight that in some area of their life need to just give You a chance. They might even be somebody here tonight that's not saved. That, Lord, if they give You a chance, You'd save them. Lord, there's some here tonight got prayer requests, no doubt things on their heart, that if they just pray and give You a chance, You'd come through. Some have needs, things that needs to be met. And dear God, if they just trust You, You promised us. Lord, tonight we thank You, Lord, for what You've done in this meeting. I thank You, Lord, that I sure did receive a lot more than I gave. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would use me. Dear God, this week, I pray You'd use Brother Bobby as he comes in a little bit to preach. I thank You for this church and for Brother Angel, his good people, and for Brother Coral. And we pray, Lord, You'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Great message, Brother Cox. Thank you. You know, talked about Brother Bobby this morning and Brother Green last night and their love for the Lord, mentioning that. And then I love it when a preacher like that pulls that old book up there and it's evident that they love that book. I heard a man say a long time ago, what we do with that book determines what God does with us. And that's absolutely the truth. Thank you, Brother Cox. God bless you.